You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 2nd of December 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today I want to talk about a particular ethnic group that is responsible for a disproportionate amount of sexual assault and rapes in Britain. And the reason why I am bringing this up is not to incite hate against that ethnic group, but to point out that they are disproportionately responsible for sexual assaults and rapes, and that our government knows about this. Our government has always known about this, and yet they still facilitate Afghans to come into the country knowing that this is going to be the result of it. You had Robert Jenrick, former Conservative Party Minister for Immigration, was talking about how proud he was of all the Afghans that he had found homes for just last year. And the result of him finding homes for all of these Afghans and of opening up the borders to Afghan refugees has been sexual assaults. And these are just the ones that we know about. And don't forget, a lot of these cases end up being dropped. There was one in Ballymena in Ireland, and three Romanian gypsies were accused of trying to rape a young Irish girl. And that case has now just been dropped. They don't have enough evidence against them. That doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It means that they didn't have enough evidence. It means that there wasn't a witness. It means that the rape didn't actually take place, so there isn't physical evidence there. But it doesn't mean that an attempted rape didn't take place. And you think something like 9/10 or more than 9/10 of rape cases end up getting dropped for lack of evidence. So you can probably say that 9/10 of sexual assault cases regarding refugees or people of migrant extraction probably also get dropped. And we don't actually hear about them. So the fact that we are hearing about these Afghan ones means that there's probably considerably more that we don't hear about. And these are just some of the drawbacks to diversity. The government tells us diversity is a wonderful thing, tells us that migration is a wonderful thing. But a side effect of diversity and a side effect of migration is an increase in sexual assaults. And this article I'm taking today comes from GB News. This is the headline, Afghan charged with slew of sexual assaults against women and entering Britain illegally. So we've got both crimes joined together there, breaking into the country and sexual assaults. An Afghan man has been charged with sexual assaults against three women in Southampton, as well as with illegally entering the UK. And the left wing are always telling us that there's no link between refugees and sexual assaults and that this just doesn't happen around these hotels. But it does happen. I mean, I've lost count of the number of sexual assaults that are reported to have happened around these hotels. Just think of this recent one in Epping with this Ethiopian man that the prison service ended up releasing by mistake. That was just a couple of weeks back. Now we got this one, happened in Southampton. This happened back in September. We've got the one that happened in Ballymena, the one that I just referred to, where the charges were dropped. That's just free in the news at the moment. And that means that there is probably 10 times that amount that we're not actually hearing about. in the news. Sahail Amiri, 30, of Highfield Lane, Southampton, is accused of approaching a woman and attempting to kiss her in Upper Shaftesbury Avenue on Tuesday, and two incidents involving other women in Westwood Road on September 23rd. Now, as I was mentioning yesterday, it must be quite a shock for these Afghans. You know, you think, in their country, the only time they see a woman who is not their mother or their sister, they're covered from head to foot in a burqa. So they literally don't actually see women. Then they come to Britain, and it's just full of white women that don't cover themselves up. And possibly, the Afghan might have seen white women before, but in pornography. That's where they're likely to see white women out in Afghanistan, is in pornography, if someone has illicit pornography. So the only time they're used to seeing white women is seeing them engaging in sex acts. And then they come to Britain, and they see white women are not covered up, they're not accompanied by a male, as they would be in Afghanistan. So they look and they think, well, that person doesn't have a husband. That person doesn't have a brother. They must be looking for a husband. And then they'll try and find some way of getting to know the person. And if the person tries to push them off, they're going to say, well, what's wrong with me? You sleep with other men. Why won't you sleep with me? That's that sort of logic. Or they may try to force themselves upon the person, as happened here, where they attempted to kiss her. I mean, this seems to happen quite a lot, is that they will just try to kiss white girls. I think that's what happens with the schoolgirl at Epping. He tried to kiss her. So this is, you know, this is a culture clash. That's what's causing this. The Afghans come from a very, very different culture to ours, where women are treated in an extremely different way to ours. And at the root of it is trying to prevent assaults on women. That's why they wear a burqa, to minimise the chances of a man becoming aroused at the sight of a woman. So that it's the same motive in their culture that we have over here. We don't want sexual assaults on women. But over here, what we do is we tell men that they have to restrain themselves. Whereas in Islamic cultures, the men aren't told they have to restrain themselves. The women restrain themselves by covering themselves up, which then prevents the man from becoming aroused. So you can imagine people coming from this very different culture, and they come to the West, and they just must be in a constant state of sexualized arousal, which is obviously going to be act like a magnet to these people to actually come to the West, isn't it, really? You can imagine them writing home and saying, well, it's just these naked women everywhere. I mean, women without a burqa is probably the equivalent to them of what we would think of as naked women. We're used to seeing women not in a burqa, but we're used to seeing them in bikinis and skimpy clothing. Whereas if you're only used to seeing them in a burqa, if you then see them in skimpy clothing, it's the equivalent of seeing them naked. These Afghans are thinking that there's naked white women running around all the place. It's going to be a massive magnet to their friends to want to come over here. A Hampshire constabulary spokesman said, officers investigating three reports of sexual assaults on women in Portswood and Beauvoir have charged a man. The charges follow an incident which occurred in Upper Shaftesbury Avenue in the early hours of Tuesday. It was reported a woman was walking along the road just after midnight when she was approached by a man she did not know, who is alleged to have then tried to kiss her. She was able to force him off and run away. This Afghan may be thinking that all he did was make an approach and she turned him away. May not realise that that's a sexual assault if you try to force yourself on somebody like that. Perhaps he'd had a drink and wasn't able to restrain himself. That's the other thing. These Islamic countries, you're not allowed to drink alcohol. So they come to the West and there's alcohol everywhere, and they may not be able to handle themselves once they've had a drink. Amiri has also been charged with entering the United Kingdom without leave, contrary to Section 24 of the Immigration Act 1971. The 30-year-old Afghan will appear at Southampton Magistrates Court in the near future. Highfield House Hotel in Highfield Lane, Portswood, has been subject to repeated anti-immigration protests. And I think they're saying that because that's where this sexual assault occurred, is Portswood. So it's very likely that this Afghan who illegally broke into the country is probably residing at this hotel. I mean, I may not be right there, but that seems to be what the article is implying. And of course, I'm not saying this because I'm encouraging people to try and hunt this person down or attack him or anything like that. The police are investigating this. But I do support the fact that people are protesting against this. But they should remember that it's the government themselves they are protesting against, because it's the government that allowed this to happen. They encouraged Afghans to come over here. So you can say that it's the government that are at fault here. Of course, the man himself is at fault for trying to force himself on someone, but not at fault as much as the government, because he comes from a different culture altogether. How should he be expected to know that the culture over here is different? The people that know that the culture over here is different is the government, and yet they still allowed it to happen. Now, I have another article here that is related to this, and this is about the statistics, the facts about sexual assaults and migrants. And this article comes from Breitbart, and it was actually produced in March this year, but it gets referred to quite a lot in the alternative media. And the title is Migrants Over 70% More Likely to Commit Sex Crimes Than Legacy Britons. And that's an interesting term there, isn't it? Legacy Britons. There isn't very much of the legacy left for Britons born today, is there? If you think about the legacy that our ancestors left us, our representatives today are going about trashing that legacy. So perhaps they should have said Indigenous Britons. That would make a bit more sense, I think. They say British government data has revealed that foreigners commit sexual crimes at over a 70% higher rate than the settled populations of England and Wales. And you could say, well, they are trying to make that seem a higher number than it actually is, because 70% is not actually double, it's under double. Half as much would be 50%, twice as much would be 100%. But instead of just saying almost twice as much, they're putting that 70% there, so it looks like they're saying 70 times more, but they're not. But just being close to double the rate is bad enough. And that's looking at migrants as a whole, don't forget. What you're also including in that is Japanese and Chinese, who are far less likely to commit sexual crimes than white people are. Whenever you look at crime statistics, you see that there's a grouping of black and Middle Eastern, there's a grouping of Caucasian, and there's a grouping of Asian, Chinese, Japanese. And that's whatever statistics you look at. I mean, if you look at sport, for instance, you'll see that the blacks are better at running, whites are in the middle, Japanese and Chinese aren't so good at all. If you look at just general crimes, you'll find that Japanese and Chinese people are less likely to commit crime than white people. Black and Middle Eastern are more likely to commit crime than white people. And it's just another piece of evidence that show you that the differences between the races is not just a skin colour. You can tell which race it is from looking at the statistics, from looking at the statistical grouping together. While the government continues to refuse to provide detailed information on the ethnic and migration background of criminals, figures released under Freedom of Information requests by the Centre for Migration Control have shown that certain groups of foreigners are far more likely to commit sex crimes, and that migrants overall are far more likely than native Britons to be convicted of such offences. So again, it's not just talking about allegations here, it's talking about people that have actually been convicted of the offences. And I know I often talk about this, but when David Lammy did his report into the disparities between black people and the crimes, the amount of times they get convicted, and white people, and it was shown that black people are five times more likely than white people to be convicted for violent crime, it was implied that the reason for that is institutional racism. even though they had actually been convicted of these crimes. They were saying that there could be an unconscious bias in the judges or the police, and that's the reason for this discrepancy. But you can't, you certainly couldn't say that here, could you? You're saying that judges and police are more likely to prosecute sex crimes against migrants. I wouldn't have thought so, because there's always going to be that risk that they're going to be accused of being racist for doing so. And we were told that the reason why the allegations of grooming gang behaviour were not investigated is because the police were frightened to be called racist. Everybody doesn't want to be, nobody wants to be called racist. They're all frightened of being called racist. And that's why these offences don't get investigated. So this can't be for that reason. It must be because migrants are more likely to carry out sex crimes, just the same as men are more likely to carry out crimes than women. We don't say that that must be because society is anti-man. Society is anti-male, but that's not the reason why men are more likely to be convicted of crimes than women. It's because men are more likely to carry out crimes than women. Perhaps not on specific areas like shoplifting. Perhaps that might be more likely to be women. But if you generally look at it as a whole, men are more likely to commit more, crimes than women. According to the data revealed in The Telegraph, their newspaper, nearly a quarter, 23% of all sexual offences, including rape, between 2021 and 2023 in Britain were committed by migrants or by offenders with an unknown nationality. So that's a quarter being carried out by migrants or offenders with an unknown nationality. And remember, they're not including in this British citizens who have a migration background. If they were to include British citizens with a migration background, that number would be even higher, I suspect. And this comes despite migrants making up around 9.3% of the population. So they're saying 9.3% of the population, yet 23% of all the offences. So that's not 70% more likely, is it? That's over twice as likely. Two times 9.3 is about 18 or 19, isn't it? And yet it's nearly 23% of all offences that are carried out. Now, I'm no good at maths, but I would question them saying that it's 70%, because to me it looks like that's over double, over 100%. And this is saying that migrants make up around 9.3% of the population. That means they must have come here in the last 5 years. 10% of the population must have come here in around about 5 years, because otherwise, if they've been here that long, they're going to get citizenship, aren't they? And they're not even going to be included in this list, because they don't consider them to be migrants once they have British citizenship. Analysis of the figures from the Centre for Migration Control found that the prevalence of sexual offenders varied wildly among different groups of people, with North Africans being 6.6 times more likely than Britons to be convicted of sex crimes, followed by Middle Easterners at 3.8 times higher of a rate, and Sub-Saharan Africans at 2.6 times the rate. Now that's interesting, because I would have thought Sub-Saharan Africans would have been the higher one, not the North Africans. You think North Africa is Morocco, Tunisia. Sub-Saharan Africa is Sudan, Somalia. But what they're saying here is North Africans are more likely to be convicted. Perhaps that's something to do with the grooming gangs. North Africans are more likely to be Muslims. So perhaps the grooming gangs have weighted this slightly. But then you would have thought that Pakistan would have been there as well. I wonder if they're including that under the Middle Easterners. But if you think, if you've got a group that are six times more likely to be convicted of sex crimes, that the government would say, well, we don't want those people in the country, do we? We don't want any more of those people because they're a threat to the people that we all already have here. So you can say that there are six times more people that have been sexually assaulted under the government's immigration policy, can't you? if they're going to say that North Africans are six times more likely to be convicted of sex crimes. Well, all of those people that have been assaulted or raped or abused, none of that would have happened if those migrants had not been in the country in the first place, if the government had not invited them in. Some people may say, oh, well, the government doesn't invite them in. The government makes the conditions conducive to them coming in. The government doesn't stop them coming in. When they come in, the government puts them up in hotels. I mean, where else in the world would you break into the country and instead of being put in prison, you're put up in a four-star hotel and given spending money? That's a magnet in itself. And as I was saying earlier, it's like Disneyland for Afghans when they come over here. When they're not used to seeing women at all, and suddenly they're seeing all these what appear to them to be naked women. On top of that, they're also given a four-star hotel and spending money. You know, it's quite clear why these people would want to come to Britain. What is unclear to most people is why the government allows it. And it's the government that are at fault. The think tank found that there were 87 foreign ethnic groups in the country with a higher rate of sex crime convictions than the native British population. It says 87 groups that the government should be saying, well, we don't want these people here. We don't want any more of these people here because they're the ones that are carrying out all the sex crime. In total, foreigners were 71% more likely than Britons to be convicted of a sex crime. As I say, that doesn't add up, does it? If 23% of all sexual offences are carried out by migrants, and yet migrants only make up 9.3% of the population, it doesn't make out, it doesn't add up. That then saying that they're 71% more likely to be convicted of a sex crime, they're over 100% more likely to. They're at least twice as likely to, aren't they? More than that. If I'm wrong about this, please do point it out in the comment section, because maths is not a strong subject of mine. The government figures found that people from Afghanistan and the African nation of Eritrea were more than 20 times more likely to commit a sex offence than the native population. 20 times more likely. That means 20 times more white women have been raped or sexually abused by Afghans than they would have been raped or abused if there had been no Afghans here. Obviously, we do have a problem with white people carrying out rape and sexual assault, but it's 20 times less than the problem that we have with Afghans and Eritreans carrying out sexual assaults. Migrants were also found to be vastly overrepresented in crime overall, with over 100,000 migrants being convicted of a serious crime in Britain between 2021 and 2023. The think tank said that there were 66 different nationalities with higher crime rates than the native-born public. Now, that, again, that's interesting that this is now being published, because there have been statistics around for a long time which have shown this, that people with a migrant background are more likely to carry out crime, particularly in America, where they record the ethnicity of offenders. Over here in Britain, they stopped doing that. This has come about from a Freedom of Information request. And I mean, if you were to look at IQ as well, you would see that the lower IQ countries were the ones more likely to carry out crimes as well. There is no better predictor of life outcomes than IQ. And the government knows the results of IQ tests. The government knows what goes on in these countries. And yet they've just allowed them to come into this country with no concern whatsoever for the native-born people. No concern that they brought in 66 different types of foreigner with a higher crime rate than their native-born subjects, citizens. Albanians, with a conviction rate of 4,028 per 10,000, 4,000 out of 10,000, that's one in two Albanians is likely to have been convicted of a crime. I mean, that's a massive rate. Albanians with a conviction rate of 4,000 per 10,000 of their census population in England and Wales were by far the most likely to be convicted of a crime. and over 30 times higher than the 136 per 10,000 rate for native Britons. So 136 out of 10,000 Britons are likely to have a conviction. But when you look at Albanians, it's 4,028 per 10,000. I mean, it really couldn't get any clearer that there is a higher propensity for crime amongst different ethnic groups. Again, I'm not pointing this out to get people to hate the ethnic groups. I'm pointing this out so that people realise that it's the government that are to blame for this, for allowing these ethnic groups to come into our country. Because it's quite clear that this is what they're going to do. We don't have magic soil here, that as soon as people set foot on the magic soil, they suddenly stop being predisposed to crime. In actual fact, they're more likely to carry out crimes in this country anyway, because they perceive it as being a soft touch. If they were to carry out these sexual assaults in an Islamic country, they would end up hanging from a crane or thrown off of a tall building. And when they come to Britain, nothing like that happens. And the British people that complain about it, they're the ones that get sent to jail for complaining about the fact that the British girls have been raped and abused. So on top of being put up in a hotel, they know that their crimes are going to be covered up, and the people that complain about those crimes, they're the ones that are going to be punished. And it's just a huge magnet for migrants to come to Britain. And it's our government that has created those conditions. It's not like Somalians have come over to Britain and managed to take over the government and created these policies that are conducive to Somalians coming into the country and raping white girls. It's our own government. It's our own representatives. Albanians were followed by migrants from Moldova, the Congo, Namibia, and Somalia in terms of conviction rate. Moldova is an interesting one, isn't it? I think that's Romania. And I suspect that this high conviction rate from Moldova is probably gypsies. You don't forget they have a big gypsy problem in places like Romania, Bulgaria. And when you hear about Romanians and Bulgarians that have been accused of these crimes, it usually turns out to actually be gypsies and not ethnic Romanians or ethnic Moldovans, but ethnic gypsies who happen to have a Moldovan passport or a Bulgarian passport. The research director at the Centre for Migration Control, Rob Bates, noted that not all immigration is the same, with certain countries producing far fewer migrant criminals. For example, migrants from former British dominions such as Australia, Canada, and New Zealand all have a lower conviction rate of those born in Britain. Isn't that a surprise? White countries have a lower conviction rate. Countries in Africa and the Middle East have a higher conviction rate. There is vast variation in the economic contribution of different nationalities coming to the UK, and it is the same when it comes to the issue of criminality. But we now have an immigration system that processes a would-be migrant from, say, Afghanistan in the same way as one from New Zealand, Canada, or Australia, Bates said. Well, I would say it's not even like that, is it? Because if someone wants to come over from New Zealand, Canada, or Australia, they've got to pay lots of money, and they've got to get a visa, and they've got to pass all these checks. Whereas if you're coming from Africa, you just turn up on a boat with no documents. So it's not that we have a system that processes them the same. We have a system that actually favours the people that come in from Africa and Afghanistan that are more likely to carry out these crimes. And remember here, it's also saying the economic contribution is different. Quite clearly, if you import people from white countries, they're going to have a higher IQ. And the fact that they're moving to another country and doing it all legally and properly sort of implies that they're actually going to earn quite a lot of money for the country. Whereas if they're coming from Afghanistan or Eritrea, they may not even be able to read or write when they get here. We have been forced to endure thousands of socially destructive crimes for rape, violence, robbery, fraud, and drug offences that would simply not have blighted our communities were it not for mass migration, Bates added. The elephant in the room cannot be ignored any longer. Our streets are objectively less safe. People now report petty crime to their followers on social media, rather than to the police. drug gangs operate with impunity, and you are probably more likely to see a weapon on the streets of London than you are a police officer. And of course, this is all anecdotal, but that's probably more likely the reason why the government will say, oh, look, crime has gone down. It's not that crime has gone down, it's that people no longer report the crime because they know that it is not going to be investigated. If somebody steals, I think it's under £500 worth of goods, the police aren't even going to investigate. A few years back, there was a huge scandal when it was announced that if your house was burgled on one side of the street, the police wouldn't investigate. But if it was burgled on the other side of the street, they would investigate because they didn't have enough police to investigate all the burglaries, this huge increase in burglaries that we have had. And it's all linked to migration, as we see here. It's telling us they have a much higher conviction for crime rate than white people. That's the reason why we have this huge crime rate, which is being ignored by the government. But this is the reason why we have David Lammy saying that we have to get rid of jury trials, because we have this huge backlog of trials cases. If it was just white people that were on trial, we wouldn't have that huge backlog of cases, would we? And we wouldn't be talking about having to get rid of jury trials. The vast disparity in outcomes for migrants from different countries has led some to suggest that the government curtail immigration from countries with a high percentage of offenders and prioritise immigration from countries with low levels of criminality. Well, I can really see that happening. You know, as soon as the government said, well, we're going to prioritise immigration from Australia and Canada, and we're going to stop allowing people in from Eritrea and Afghanistan, instantly there would be howls from the mainstream media that the government was instituting a racist policy, wouldn't there? Yet, this would be a sensible policy, wouldn't it? Just prioritise immigration from countries with a low level of criminality. And what's interesting is that the countries with a low level of criminality are also countries with a higher IQ rate. So we would actually be importing people with a higher IQ, more likely to actually contribute to the country, rather than to destroy the country, which is what we're doing by importing people with low IQ that are more likely to carry out crime. Others have called for the Home Office to publish annual figures on migrant criminality to allow the British public to understand the connection between crime and mass migration policies. And I think that would be a good first step, wouldn't it, if the government were to do that. I think they might actually be doing that now, perhaps only in the case of grooming gangs. They've said that they will collect data on the migrant background of the people involved in the grooming gangs so that we can actually see the figures. But I'm not sure they're going to do that for all crime. They should do it for all crime. The only reason why they don't do it is because they want to cover it up. And they'll say it's because we don't want it to be used by racists. We don't want to inflame community tensions by having this sort of data out there. But if that data showed that they only had the same criminality rate as we do, then it couldn't be used to inflame community tensions, could it? It wouldn't be able to be used by the far right. So the very fact that they have actually covered this up shows that they do know that this is going on and they don't want people to find out about it. So it's good news that it's now being talked about in the mainstream media. I feel very sorry for the young girls that have been abused by these Afghans and Africans, but they should just remember that it's not the individual Afghans and Africans that are to blame so much as it is our government for inviting these people into our country or allowing these people into our country when knowing that they're far more likely to abuse the residents of the country. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.